very good at all on defense, so I thought we would be successful there. But, man, Kamara's got a different gear. It looks like Kelly has got that as well. But I tell you, Jalen Hurd, I think he's maybe in the fourth quarter on that 94-yard drive. It was only a 6 or 7 yard gain. But that son of a gun fall for every ounce, for every inch he could get. You know what run I'm talking about when he come back to the
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it was just like, man, that's what football's all about, and running the football. I just loved it. So, hey, I'm looking forward to this next week. It's just a massive game as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know if you got to say we got to win it, but to me is if we don't win it, I'll have serious reservations headed to Gainesville.
Knowing what you know about them and about us, out of 10, how winnable is it?
I think it's a 50-50 football game, Basilio, and you just got to hope. You know, Oklahoma doesn't play in this type of environment very often.
Agreed.
They play out there in the Big 12. You know, they go to Dallas and it's split 50-50 with Texas. That's probably the closest thing they get to it. But, you know, I think we have a chance possibly if we could really play well out of the gate and all that, we might be able to intimidate them a little bit. And you said, you nailed it earlier. Those Big 12 teams, man, I think Oregon's the same way. If you can line up and hit them in the mouth, they don't like it.
There's a real opportunity to do that next week because I think this crowd.
Love you, fellas.
Take care, man.
See you, Brocky.
Hey, this crowd here next week, Sean, is going to be all freaking time, okay?
Yep.
Now, we've been talking about this. It's like coming like it's like a train coming up over the hill. But it's about here. It is about here. Smartway, Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. As soon as the game's over, we're with you. I said tonight I'll stay on to take the last phone call. I still got people on hold. Now, we're getting ready to hit we're past the 1 o'clock hour here in the Eastern Time Zone. I'm going 4 straight hours. I haven't taken a commercial break yet. How do we do this? We got folks that sponsor the show. I talk about them live. I want to thank my friends at Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic. I want to thank First Mortgage Lenders. I want to thank my friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group and also Cazzy's tonight for coming on board for the festivities this evening. I want to thank Russell W. Smith, who's here from Knox Talk Radio 94.3 FM, Dr. Sean Sinclair, who's a dentist in beautiful Maryville, who's with us tonight as well, who's added so much great content and color to the program tonight. And even had a little radio discussion early on in our program. As it looks like Mississippi State's going to hang on for a hard-fought win down in Hattiesburg this evening. As we go back to the phones. And so the conference so far has had a pretty good weekend. Tomorrow there's another game in college football tomorrow. Russell, what is it? Do you know? It's in the middle of the afternoon?
No, I can't remember because you asked me.
That's okay. And then Ohio State, Virginia Tech. Guys, I think there's a move afoot to get Frank Beamer out of there before the Tennessee plays them next year. I don't know how that's going to go. Bud Foster, if you guys missed it, a real misstep by him and that staff talking about fining kids a week and a half or so ago from this money that they're now paying these kids on the front end. And Frank Beamer has, you know, he's been at the party a little too long. And you know what? To some extent, Bob Stoops has been at the party at Oklahoma too long, and Tennessee could really oblige giving him a little shove. This could do for Bob Stoops what Ole Miss beating Texas did for them a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. You could give this guy a real shove, because they'll lose a lot of games if they lose next week in Neyland Stadium. They'll lose 5 games again. Back to the phones we go.
Purdue takes on Marshall tomorrow.
Time. Brocky called that a 50-50 game. I love hearing that because he knows a lot about Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. I mean, Sean, does that carry a lot of weight with you? Because Brocky does know a lot about that team.
Yeah, I think it's a 50-50 game.
Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony? How you doing? This is PTR.
Hey, PTR. Welcome, buddy.
Say, W, Doctor, how you guys doing tonight?
PT, good to hear from you.
Well, brother, I'm going to tell you, I'm one tired puppy. Drove over this morning, shot the game.
Oh,
wow. And Tony, I tweeted a couple of pictures if you are so inclined to get out there and look at them.
Ooh.
I got 4 points I want to make, if I can remember 2 of them. One, I do want to say the last 12 seconds of Rojay's call needs to be put in the Hall of Fame. That's just without question. Number two is I really want to endorse this idea of this was a dead environment. I don't even know. I looked around in the stands and looked at the people that were there. They're not who we're used to seeing in Neyland Stadium. And the atmosphere was just blah. It was just blah all the way through. And it's, what, 90% Tennessee fans? There was just no fire, no anything, even when Tennessee was playing well. I don't care if we ever do this again. It's got to be something special to give up a day in Knoxville in the Neyland Stadium. It's brutal. And, Tony, I owe you an apology. I knew you were on the air as I was driving back. I was listening to State One Radio, and I was about 15 seconds into Uncle John playing Cousin Bob's replay highlights when I said, there's got to be something better on the radio. So that's when I remembered the app.
Thanks,
so,
man.
I apologize.
I appreciate you doing that. And if you can just tell a couple friends about it, and we'll just keep growing, keep doing what we're doing, man. Grassroots, people are really enjoying the difference.
And the last thing I want to comment on, again, thank you all for doing this. It's a great format you have, and it's absolutely, it's a shame this really isn't on the air somewhere. I get why you don't do it, but that after game programming that's available for Tennessee football is just horrendous.
Well, here's the thing. I can't, if I put this on the air, I got to totally make it different from what it is.
Yeah, and I get that. So I guess we keep doing what we're doing because even I can figure it out after listening to three replays by Mr. Kessling. I guess that's enough for me. You gentlemen have a great night. Take care.
Thank you, PTR. Great talking to you. Russell just pulled up something rather scary off Deadspin. And what is it, Dobbsy, off the Twitterer?
It's about a high school football game. I'm not sure where this is. I'm just looking at the
in Florida
GIF file, but I guess the back judge and what the safety just comes down and appears to just clobber the referee. Looks to be intentional.
Yeah, it's
just
premeditated.
Lays him out.
Yeah. Premeditated. Mm-hmm. Back to the phones we go. It's a wonder it doesn't happen more often. It kind of reminds me down there in Georgia in a high school football game. They were upset with the umpire's calls, and the catcher and the pitcher both conspired, and they threw a fastball and hit that umpire square in the face, man. And just knocked him out. Back to the phones we go. That kid there should never be allowed to put a uniform on ever again. You do something like that to a grown man on a football field. Back to the phones, a defenseless man. Wait till you
behind,
see this. Wait till you
never
see this, Sinclair.
Coming, so he's just
Sinclair,
relaxed.
Wait till you see this. It's like getting assassinated. That's what this guy got on the field. Hello and welcome.
You guys know how much I love you, right?
Just Bino.
Bino.
Bino, you know it's 1 o'clock in the morning, right, brother?
You also know that you all are total imbeciles, right? You've done a show long enough where I attended a game in Nashville, and I'm calling the show on my home phone. Unbelievable. Thanks for being in there, guys, for long enough for me to at least holler at you. I guess the more I watch football, the more I realize how little I know about it, because what happens is never what I expect to happen. I don't think there's any way that I would have ever thought in 100 years that I would come away from this game quite as impressed with our offense as I am, or quite as concerned about our defense as I am. And that's totally opposite of what I expected. I expected to go down there, and I know we're talking about Bowling Green's defense, but I don't believe there's any doubt our offensive line's much better than I thought that it was going to be. And our offensive attack is much better than I thought it was going to be. And we didn't go but about 3 pages into the playbook. But I did think that we had a defense that would keep us in every game. And what I saw down there tonight doesn't convince me that that's the case.
What scares you, Bino? What scared you in person?
Well, I guess it was just Bowling Green, and I know that that's a quirky offense. We won't see it a whole lot. We may play a better quarterback than Matt Johnson. We won't play anybody that performed any better than he did tonight. He was on the money. He was on time. He was elusive. I guess I can see why a guy who breaks his hip after one game can replace the guy that replaced him that threw for over 3,000 yards. That kid's the real deal. And the receivers are very good. I mean, I guess what concerned me is that Eric Deets is outstanding. I watched it. There's no doubt that kid's a good receiver. But, you know, I kind of halfway expected Lou Gehrig to catch one for about 35, too.
That's great.
I undersold what losing some of our starters in the secondary would do. That's my biggest concern, is just the secondary. And again, you guys are right. It's matchups and we won't see that very much, but, there was a little too much of it tonight not to have some concerns about it going forward.
Right on. And I don't, again, I think we find out next week.
Yeah.
Hey, if this guy comes in here next week and lights us up, and it's Katie Bar the door on that corner, and it happens over and over and over and over and over and over again, and you got Elvis Patterson out there like they used to say with the New York Giants, mm-hmm. when they called him toast, and they literally hung a big piece of toast from the second level in Giant Stadium, you'll know. I mean, we'll know next week. I suspect, though, that team we played tonight, compared to a lot of teams in college football, is just damn good through the air, Bino. And I think they put on a show today. That kid was on today, on fire.
Yeah, no question. He was as accurate as he looked like Danny Werfel. I mean, he was throwing the ball basically on a dime, and their receivers were making some really really good catches too. Sometimes in pretty tight quarters. I guess it's the times when it wasn't so tight quarters that gave me an issue, but I'll tell you, I am really impressed with our offense, especially with the way we run the football. You run for almost 450 yards. I don't care who you're playing. You're running the football. And a lot of those were gashed too.
Yeah, it's, I'll tell you, it's going to be very interesting to see what they tighten up, how they tighten up, what they tighten up. Because Butch Jones didn't seem to be in the mood to admit it tonight, that there's an issue, and that's fine. But what they do behind the scenes, it's going to be, it will be interesting to see if they do address it or how they address it.
And they did have very wide splits. Their receivers were as far out as anyone I've seen, so it was probably a little bit hard to help. And as Sean said a couple times, they had four guys that you did have to be concerned about. Most of the headliner teams we play won't have four receivers that you have to be concerned about. I guess the good thing that comes out of it is it's much better than never being under any pressure whatsoever in game one. We've seen that happen a whole bunch of times when we didn't realize we had some issues. We realize what our issues are going into game two.
Yeah, false courage, right? I mean, all that talk that we had earlier in the week about all these big plays, who knew that Bowling Green was going to be the ones that made all the big plays and still get blown out?
Well, their defense is bad, but their offense is really good, and they'll be good against everyone that they play. Real quick, guys, what happened with Martinez? We didn't know anything about that until we heard you all mention it on the way back.
We done
16 months ago. Apparently he had a impermissible contact, like a bump, and it was reported by our compliance department, and I guess they had, I don't know when they came down with this, it may have been last year, but UT just sat on it, and he couldn't go to the stadium today, and he will be back full, you know, with all benefits tomorrow, ready to go.
Well, all the way out here, Nissan is not the venue.
Dotson.
I won't see another Tennessee Volunteer game there. But even at that, you could not hide how highly anticipated this season was with Tennessee fans that were down there. And I know you guys felt it here as well. It's been a long time since we had a season that people were so looking forward to. And I think that's the reason for maybe the little bit of over-the-top disappointment that some of us have on what we saw out there. I mean, that's pretty big widespread for us to all be disappointed about our defensive play. But
yeah, and here's the difference. You know what? 5 years ago, we lose this game.
Yeah. I think you're right, Tony. And you know, when we did get the one turnover, we did exactly what you're supposed to do. Took it about 96 yards and slammed the door.
And that's it.
It's been a long time since we could do that, too.
Amen to that. And it was fun to watch that. That offense this year, look, it might be one of these years where we give up a ton of points. We're going to be unbelievably fun to watch offensively, though.
I agree. We've got a lot of options.
When we're full speed.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Bean. I love you, man. Glad you're back.
Hey, if it's 3 years ago, Dooley's last year, and, you know, he had a great offense that year, but the defense was, you know, all sincerely up. If it's like that again, and you've got the great offense, but your defense is just average,
yep,
you can win your 8 or 9 games doing that.
Final phone call. And you know what? 8 or 9 games this year is good enough for me. Now, I know a lot of people have designs on winning the East. I'm with Brock on this thing. I really, really would love to see Tennessee beat Oklahoma next week, because I would love to see what that does to this program, because I think it would jettison this program. Let's get our and shoot this thing into a quicker orb. Next call, final call, last call. Hello and welcome. Smart Way Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, welcome in.
Big Ben here, long time listener, first time call. One thing I think about, looking at this game, you see, I don't know if Butch has used this, he's used everything else, but, you gotta get the people on the bus. And, we've done that in recruiting, but, further than that, you've got to get people in the right seats. And, what I saw tonight was Coleman Thomas finally found the right seat. Like, they've been wanting to play him. They know he's competitive, but he's not a tackle. And it was a tough decision to move Crowder along, but they finally got Coleman in there. And on two different Jalen Hurd, outside touchdown runs, he's got one guy to beat. Out of nowhere, Coleman comes and just blows the guy up. So that was just something I was really encouraged to see, finally giving Coleman a shot at a position that he's not terrible at.
That is so unbelievably well put by you. And here's the thing that's frustrating to me, and I'm not a coach. I don't know if you are. Sean's not a coach, and Dubsy isn't a coach, but we openly discussed, why didn't they use this kid in his position? Why try to make a tackle out of somebody? And it was so unfair to him last year. And we can just go back close to 365 days. Why throw a guy out there and let some All-America type player tee off on a quarterback and this kid just getting beat time and time and time and time and time and time? Another thing that was weird about last year and you talk about getting the players in the position, I don't understand this aversion to Kendrick, who played very well today and played extremely well when they gave him a chance last year. But yet, he is prone to lose his job. I don't understand. So now what you told me is, what you just told me, and I agree with you, is now you've strengthened two positions by making basically one move. I don't understand what was so hard about that. Was it that hard?
Did he not recruit Kendrick? I feel like this
No, he didn't. That wasn't his guy. But
he signed him, but he didn't recruit. He committed to Dooley.
Yeah, and he signed him. He was there kind of as part of the scraps on that deal. Yeah, I guess this would be a good way of putting it. But even at that, even if you inherited it, I mean, if a guy can play, he can play. And the guy obviously can play. He's got the size. He's got the strength, the speed. He's got everything you want to play out there. I don't get it. And Coleman Thomas today, pulling was... you were right on the money, man. I mean, he was great today. I was so happy for him and glad to see that. You know, that had to be a real boost to that kid to play like that today.
It was different seeing him do that when all you've seen is him just getting whooped play after play after play, and then he just comes around the edge and just... blows it up. I mean, it was ridiculous.
He had some dog in him. It's like one of our callers said, you know, it's one thing on one of those plays, both Coleman Thomas and Kendrick not only block at the point of attack, but they got downfield and got some more meat down the field, which you love seeing that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, I'm going to get out of here, but thanks for everything you do. We love hearing it. I tune in every time. I'm going to call next week. See y'all.
Thank you. Shawnee boy, great hearing from you. Dr. Sean Sinclair, give me a couple final thoughts here on the way out, and then I'm going to go to Russell, and then I'll have something.
I think it was a great game. It obviously, not everything went the way we wanted to. I still contend this was a unique offense, kind of like a couple years ago. You know, Air Force didn't have the kind of talent we had, but they took us to the end of the game because they just had an interesting offense. And we still won by 29. I thought we showcased a lot of talent out there. I honestly believe that Emmanuel Mosley will rebound from this. I didn't understand having him press on a guy that's 6'4", 215, 220 pounds. That made no sense to me at all. I think Dobbs is our leader, regardless of what that guy said. And I thought when you take punt return, kick return, Brian Randolph blocked a field goal, Trevor Daniel had a heck of a day. I thought special teams shined, and I thought we played a pretty clean game as far as penalties, injuries, all that stuff. So I think we're 1-0. I'm proud of the team. I'm proud of the fans that filled that place up, and let's go get Oklahoma.
Really well put. Hey, Sean, thanks for everything, man. Great talking
thanks,
to you.
Thanks, guys. See you, Dubsy.
See you, Sean.
Really, really terrific job by Cinco tonight.
Yep.
Russell Smith, Knox Talk Radio, 94.3 FM. Couple final thoughts.
I mean, I think it was a solid win for Tennessee. I'm kind of with Beano. I thought, you know, the defense was a surprise, but so was the offense. I think the offense looked better than, you know, we possibly could have imagined. So, hey, you know, if we have a little bit of a negative tone, maybe it's a good thing in that we're getting back to where we were back when Tennessee was winning 9-10 games a year, and an 8-win season was disappointing, and we're really nitpicking. I think Tennessee's making huge strides right now. So this is a huge week, huge opportunity. I know we've said that a billion times over the past couple of years. Every year there's a game. Oh, this is a huge opportunity to whatever. But this feels different right now. It feels like Tennessee actually has a puncher's chance to go in there, and you're not just hoping for some kind of miracle, the ball to bounce your way. You feel like if Tennessee goes out there and doesn't turn the ball over and plays well, that they have a really good shot to beat Oklahoma.
Russell, thanks, man. It's great seeing you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
I've been doing this for 21-plus years, and I will tell you that I can honestly say you can feel it. This fan base is getting ready to blow the lid off of this place. This is a golden opportunity to take a step forward and really do it before it's time. And the great thing about sports, Beano said it earlier, is it'll surprise you. Just one time. Just one time. Just one time in Neyland Stadium Saturday night. Been a real blessing being with you here. Thanks for staying tuned. Thanks for spreading the word. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks to Russell Smith. Thanks to Shawnee Boy Sinclair. The cast of thousands that joined us as well. Every phone call, every tweet, every message, every text, every listener, wherever you may be. The volunteers are 1-0. That's the great news. And college football's back. But more to the point, Tennessee is back in college football. And that's great news indeed. Now I'm going to go back to my stash here. I'm going to throw some Americana at you here overnight, because football's as Americana as possible. This is, ladies and gentlemen, some Colin Hay. We love you. God bless.
Colin Hay here. I used to sing in a band called Men at Work, you might remember. Maybe not. But if you were in a coma in the 80s, you might not, but otherwise you probably do. And I'm on XM 50, and I'm in a loft. Well, I'm not really in a loft, but That's what we see. And you don't know, because it's radio. And I'm with Mike and Kate. Well, I'm with Kate. I don't know where Mike is.
Well, it's Saturday night. You're all dressed up in blue. I've been watching you a while. Maybe you're watching me too. So somebody ran out, left someone's heart in a mess. If you're looking for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Some girls, they like a handsome Dan, or some good-looking Joe. From some girls like a sweet-talking Romeo. Around here, baby, I learned you get what you can get. If you're looking for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Yeah, the road is long. It's a thin, thin line. I want you to know I'd walk it for you anytime. Maybe your other boyfriend couldn't pass the test. If you're up and ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. The road is long. It's a thin, thin line. I want you to know I'd walk it for you anytime. Maybe your other boyfriend couldn't pass the test. If you're up and ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. It's true, baby, I've been around a time or two. I don't know, maybe you've been around too. There's another dance, all you have to do is say yes. If you're up and ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. If you're up and ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. If you're up and ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the
I didn't write that one. I wish I had, but I didn't. Of course, that was Uncle Bruce, the very famous Mr. Springsteen. My name's Colin Hay, by the way. And I'll play one of mine.
It's a beautiful world. I like swimming in the sea. I like to go out beyond the white breakers, where a man can still be free, or a woman if you are one. I like swimming in the sea. a beautiful world. I like drinking Irish tea with a little bit of lapsang souchong. I like making my own tea. Oh, my, 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 it's a beautiful world.